Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Nice. We might get some money. So we talked last week about the settlement that Google made with 50 states. They agreed to pay $630 million to users in all 50 states as part of a settlement with state attorneys general over the high fees it charges app developers. And so I don't think we need to do anything. We're going to, we're just going to get the money. The states estimate that 70% of the 102 million eligible consumers will receive their payments automatically. Now, I don't know that I'm going to be within that 70%, but I'm sure you are. You don't even have to file a claim. If you're eligible, you're going to get $2 or more. I know, right? That's depending on how much you spent on apps in the Google Play Store between August 2016 and September of 2023. The settlement also means Android users will now be allowed to download apps directly outside of the Play Store. So I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. But at some point, some of us may get a whole $2 from the Google settlement. So spend it wisely, my friends. Spend it wisely. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Just when you think you're safe, well, you're not. Earlier this week, Comcast confirmed hackers accessed the sensitive information of nearly 36 million customers, including partial social security numbers, birth dates, and passwords. So the company is going to take care of it. Well, they're urging their Xfinity customers to reset their usernames and passwords and set up a two-factor authentication. So that's it. You're good. Just reset your passwords and set up that two-factor authentication. I can't even say that word. Authentication. And you'll be fine. Don't even worry about it. So, I mean, we've talked about it before. Our information is out there, and we just have to do the best we can to keep it as safe as we can. But hey, thanks for letting us know, Comcast. We appreciate it. Then we find out that Rysita, a ransomware group that previously attacked the British Library, released over 1.3 million files pertaining to Sony's game developer Insomniac Games. We find this out. The cache reportedly included internal presentations, Slack screenshots, employees' personal information, be sure to change your passwords, which were leaked after the company failed to pay the $2 million demanded by the Rashida. It's what in the unverified 1.67 terabytes of stolen data is true. We've learned that some details about the new games. Yeah, okay, so we don't know if that it's all true. But, you know, they didn't pay the $2 million, and so tough, we're hacking your stuff. Sony Interactive has an agreement with Marvel for a trilogy of X-Men games. This, there's alleged footage from the first game, Wolverine, released in the hack, and is already, you know, you can find it out there on the interwebs. The files included a discussion of a Spider-Man 3 game, a game based on Venom, and a new Ratchet and Clank. Internal documents released in the hack show that executives were concerned about Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard. Duh. In one slide, Sony said it was worried that the acquisition could disrupt and threaten the console and game subscription markets in 2027. Again, duh. Sony's PlayStation currently dominates the console industry, but these internal discussions highlight how Sony thinks that it could all change once Microsoft gains control of Activision's insanely popular Call of Duty franchise. Oh, yeah, I mean, hello, it's guaranteed to remain PlayStation through 2027. So, really, no big deal. I mean, they could just own up to it and say, yeah, we weren't going to pay you $2 million. There's nothing in there terribly incriminative. Incriminative, is that a word? Yeah, incriminating. Incriminative, I like that word. There's nothing in there. So, I mean, except for some new games that maybe no one was aware of, and they can just say, yeah, we were working on those games. We're not anymore, or things have changed. But we still aren't out to 2 million, because we didn't pay the ransomware group the 2 million. But hey. Just change your passwords and set up two-factor authentication, and you're good. So yesterday we talked about the presidents, former presidents that have animals, that have kept animals at the White House. And so today I see a story about the governor of Louisiana, today being the 20th of December, 2023, for those of you listening live. So Governor John Bel Edwards had chickens at the governor's mansion. I know, that comes as a surprise to me too. The Louisiana governor had chickens at the governor's mansion. Apparently, he intended to take the chickens with him back home at the end of his term next month. But the governor-elect, Jeff Landry, who was taking a tour of the mansion, told Governor Edwards, hey, do the chickens come with the joint? And he said, well, yeah, I mean, I can leave them if you want. And he was like, yeah, I want you to leave the chickens. So when he was asked, Governor Edwards, when he was asked whether he will miss the chickens, he said, yeah, but I'll get some more. Every now and then you have to get new chickens anyway. Yeah, they're, I don't know if you know this, but they're chickens. So apparently he added the additions of the chickens when he took office. And he paid for the coop and the hens out of his own money. The hens provide eggs for the first family. Yeah, I don't know if you know this. That's what chickens do. They lay eggs. And you got to have a few, because otherwise you're only getting, I don't know, two to half a dozen, maybe a day, maybe a week, depending on the chickens and the weather. I'm not a chicken aficionado, but I do know some people that have chickens, and I understand the struggle that is getting eggs from chickens. So, according to this story, and I find this kind of funny, actually, in the story, the chickens did not respond to multiple interview questions about their new owner. Yeah, they're chickens. Ha ha, we get it. That's funny. That's funny. Who wrote this? Piper Hutchinson for the Louisiana Illuminator. Yeah, we believe you, Piper. You went and asked the chicken questions and didn't get an answer. We got it. But how many other kind of animals are at different governor's mansions? That may be a special Chewing the Fat investigation coming very, very soon. And then, I'm reaching back to yesterday again. We talked about the owl that was found in the Christmas tree, right? It was there for days. The family didn't even realize that the owl was in the Christmas tree. Really, really strange. They had some cleaning due person come in while they were away, and he was like, hey, something's moving in the Christmas tree, and it was an owl. And so, you know, he set him free. However, now we get another owl story out of New York City. Flacco the owl was the Eurasian eagle owl who escaped from the Central Park Zoo in February. So they found Flacco. Flacco is outside of some lady's window being a peeping owl. I know. So I don't know. They haven't caught him yet. He's just a peeping owl looking into people's windows in New York, hoping to, catch a little, you know. And in the report, it talks about how Flacco may see humans as potential mates. So Flacco the owl is looking for a little business, and he doesn't care whether it's a human or an owl, but he had enough of the zoo, so he escaped, and now he's just roaming the city, being a peeping owl, looking for a little owl business. Oh, yeah. I wonder who will be the lucky business recipient. Thank you. Be here all week. Well, I haven't decided whether I'm going to be here all week or not, since it's the holiday week and I'm just throwing some shows together to have some fun. So we'll see. Thank you. Be here, you know, at least for the rest of today. I'll just go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately.
Ah.
kind of sad news about Celine Dion. You know, we talked about her when she first reported or said that she had this stiff person syndrome that she was battling. And that is still ongoing. Now, you say to yourself, wait, what is the stiff person syndrome? Don't we all want stiff person syndrome? No, no, we do not. We may want stiff, you know, body part syndrome, but we do not want stiff person syndrome. It's when stiff muscles in the trunk, torso, arms, and legs, greater sensitivity to noise, touch, and emotional distress, which can set off muscle spasms. It's a progressive neurological disorder. Wow. Over time, people with SPS, that's a stiff person syndrome, may develop hunched over postures. Yeah, no kidding. They may be too disabled to walk or move. Many fall frequently because they don't have normal reflexes to catch themselves. This can lead to serious injuries. Yeah. People with SPS, that's a stiff person syndrome, may be afraid to leave the house because street noises such as the sound of a car horn can trigger spasms and falls. Wow. I do not wish that on anyone. She may end up being in a Who Died Today segment sooner than I had anticipated. Her sister, Claudette, did an interview with, I don't know, the French Hollywood Reporter. And Claudette said that she's working hard to battle her disorder. That means it's not going well. She doesn't have control of her muscles. That's Celine. This is Claudette talking about Celine. What pains Claudette the most is that she's always been disciplined, yeah, worked hard, blah, 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 blah. She's great. There's no doubt that in our dreams and in hers, the idea is to come back to the stage. Uh-huh. In which state, I don't know. The vocal cords are muscles and the heart is also a muscle. Yeah, very sad. That's not going to happen. There's not enough scientific advancement yet to treat the condition, which is also upsetting. Hey, Celine, what you can do, and this is just, I'm just throwing this out there, just between you and me. If you need me to set up a fund to look into finding a cure for SPS, it's a stiff person syndrome, I'm happy to do that. You just send me, I don't know what, 10 million to kick this thing off, and I will get this thing rolling right down the hill for you. No problem. Happy to help. So, I guess, according to Claudette, all right, she was explaining some of the things that are happening to Celine, and you don't want none of that, man. She talks about how, you know how people jump up in the night because of a cramp in their leg or their calf? Yes, I do, Claudette. I do. Well, it's like that, but in all muscles. There's little we can do to support her to alleviate her pain. Wow. You don't know that. She's having spasms. She detailed challenges that come with the disorder that are affecting her daily life. Yeah, if you're having spasms, whether you're walking or having difficulty walking, can't use your vocal cords to speak or sing, I mean, that's not good. So Celine Dion, oof, really struggling with SPS. That's stiff person syndrome. So if you're a fan, or even if you're not a fan and you want to put Celine in your prayers, you go ahead, because I don't necessarily wish the old SPS, that's stiff person syndrome, on anyone. It's remarkable. I never heard of it before. And now we have, there's also a marathon runner that the headline is turning into a statue with stiff person syndrome. And so now we've got these, I never heard of it before. Now don't, okay, all right. Don't look at me like that. Like, you know why they got it, don't you? They got it after. Yeah, it doesn't say that in the story. So why don't you just lighten up a little bit on that, okay? Oh, and hey, those of you in Iceland, don't worry about that. That's just pollution from the eruption of the volcano in the southwest part of the country. So I don't know if it's all over the entire country, because Iceland, I mean, it's not that really that big of a country, but they're saying that the pollution is going to hit the city of Reykjavik. Is it Reykjavik? Yeah, Reykjavik. And so if you're, you know, out walking around, the lava is flowing and the smoke plumes, I guess, aren't going to disrupt air traffic. But they will disrupt you walking around the streets. So if you find yourself... you should be fine. Don't even worry about it. I think they still have people that they've kicked out of some of the towns because the last time that this erupted. So they were saying that they were letting some people back in to intermittently check their homes. Yeah, you can go back in. Is your home okay? Yeah, okay. Get out. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going on? But just be careful out there and know that your morning walks probably going to be disrupted by the pollution from the volcano. So when you and your friends are out walking, you're not alone. Yeah, maybe you just don't go for a walk. So we're getting closer to the end of the year, just a few more days, actually, 10 or 11 days, and then we go into 2024. Yay! And I was looking at, of course, you know, we had to get all the end of the year lists, like from Wikipedia, the most viewed pages. You know, number one was the ChatGPT page views, almost 50 million. Page views. Number two were deaths. I definitely used Wikipedia for a lot of deaths in adding to my Who Died Today segment. Number three was the 2023 Cricket World Cup. I did not visit that page, I don't think. Number four was the Indian Premier League. That's almost the same thing. Number six was the Cricket World Cup as well. What is the, I guess it's just the way you type it in. Because the 2023 Cricket World Cup has 38,171,653 page views. The Indian Premier League, which is, I guess, not cricket. That may be soccer. But then the number six is Cricket World Cup, which has 25,961,417 page views. So if you put those together, you're looking at more than what you had at number one. Aren't you? Let's see. Over 50. So, not sure why we don't do that. Number seven was J. Robert Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer film was number five, and then Oppenheimer himself was number seven. The Jawan film was 21 million. The 2023 Indian Premier League was number nine. Okay, so number nine and number four. You got to put those together, Wikipedia. I know we're breaking that up into how people search, but come on now. The Last of Us TV series was number 11. And, of course, we were talking about What's-Her-Face the other day being neurodiverse. That's I am now neurodiverse. And we found out that more people have joined the neurodiverse club. I mean, it started with the Bella Ramsey from The Last of Us, and she had claimed in an interview that she was neurodiverse, and when you look it up, we're all neurodiverse now. So I don't know if we get anything special for it, but if we do, I'm up for it. Number 12 at Wikipedia was Taylor Swift, 19,418,385 views. That doesn't surprise me. Barbie film. Yeah, okay. A Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, number 14. Lionel Messi, number 15. And another Premier League. So really strange. I'm not really sure why we're breaking that up. Matthew Perry. Yeah. Yeah. United States was the 18th. I guess we're checking to see if it had fallen yet. Because that was over 16 million views on the United States, as far as Wikipedia goes. Elon Musk, yeah, I probably did that. Avatar Way of Water, maybe. India itself, 13 million, almost 14 million. Lisa Marie Presley, yeah, was 22nd, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't think I looked at that. I did look at Lisa Marie Presley, though. Russian invasion of Ukraine, over 12 million, almost 13 million page views. Andrew Tate, I may have looked at the Wikipedia page of Andrew Tate, coming in at number 25 with 12,728,616 page views, which got me thinking about Google. Since, we're all going to get a couple of bucks from Google, maybe, 70% of the people that had purchased stuff from the App Store. That's what we talked about earlier in this show. I was looking at what's trending as far as 2023 on Google and, the global trends. Number one for news was war in Israel and Gaza. Yeah. A Titanic submarine was number two. Yeah, that was big. Damar Hamlin was number one in people. Jeremy Renner, number two. Wow. Well, Jeremy Renner was number one in actors and number two in people, being pushed off the number one slot with Damar Hamlin. Matthew Perry, Tina Turner, Sinead O'Connor, Ken Block, Jerry Springer. Yeah, those were all who died today's, and I definitely partook in those searches. Probably some Jeremy Renner, too. Maybe some Damar Hamlin, you never know. Games, the Hogwarts Legacy and The Last of Us were the top two. Movies, Barbie and Oppenheimer. Yeah, of course. Sound of Freedom, number four. Wow, Sound of Freedom, number four. John Wick, chapter four. And number three was Joanne. Musicians, oh, wow. Musicians is not Taylor Swift. Shakira, number one. Well, she's had some family issues. She's had some tax issues. She's been in the news. So people are searching for Shakira, no question about that. Sports teams, Inter Miami, CF. Yeah, I mean, that's because Messi went to play there, right? TV shows, The Last of Us, Wednesday, Jenny in Georgia, One Piece, Kaleidoscope. We've talked about a lot of those. Google Maps, the Parc Güell in Barcelona, Spain. Isn't that where Shakira had her fight with the hogs or something that took her purse? I think that is. Maybe that's why that's part of that. I don't know. Just a guess. I don't know. I don't care enough to look at it right now. I'm just guessing that that's what it is. You look at the Google Maps with the museums, the top searches for Google Maps and the museums. The Louvre in Paris, France is number one. The British Museum in London, number two. The Musée d'Orsay in Paris, France. The Natural History Museum in London. Wow, two of London's in the top five. And Team Lab Planets in Tokyo, Japan. Wow, the U.S. museums are sucking a little bit of wind there. So anyway, those are some of the top searches in Google for 2023. Going back to Wikipedia, though, I see where this was the English Wikipedia in 2023. Interesting. So the top 25 list was created using English Wikipedia. The top countries that accessed English Wikipedia overall are the United States, the United Kingdom, India, Canada, Australia. And United States is far and away the winner with 33.2 billion. And then the United Kingdom is 9 billion per capita. United States, United Kingdom is probably pretty strong. But India, only 8.48 billion. Wow, that's the English version, though. And Canada had 3.95 billion, and Australia had 2.56 billion. According to Wikimedia, that's the Wikimedia Foundation. So anyway, there you have it with the top 25 list, the English Wikipedia in 2023. Who died today? Who died today? Well, Army Staff Sergeant Zachary L. Melton, 30, was found unresponsive in his car Saturday after he failed to report to his assigned duty. Now, rest in peace, Army Staff Sergeant Zachary L. Melton. And this is, it's very sad. However, let me say this. This is the second drill sergeant to have been found dead at Fort Jackson in South Carolina in a little over a week. Oh, really? What's happening? I mean, they're just dropping like flies. Well, a couple of them, anyway. He's a Huntsville, Alabama native, been in the Army for more than 10 years, the past 3 years as a drill sergeant. So he was found unresponsive in his car. Then Sergeant Alan M. Bertram, 34, drill sergeant, was found dead after he didn't report for work. Huh. The U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Division, the ACID, that's not a TV show, the NCIS is the TV show. Maybe that's a new one. The ACID is investigating both soldiers' deaths. Thank you. Appreciate it. So apparently there's no evidence of foul play in either death. Okay. So then we find out that this is the third, not the second, but the third death at an Army installation this year. In June, Staff Sergeant Jamie Contreras was found dead after taking part in a training exercise. Contreras, 40, was a drill sergeant candidate and had been in the Army's 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Liberty, North Carolina. Okay, so there's three guys in the last few months that have been found unresponsive and pronounced dead on the scene. Oh, okay. I know what you're thinking, and don't think that, because they just haven't released the cause of death yet for all three of these men. And so it can't be that, otherwise they would have told us, right? That couldn't have been causing it. No, they want to refer us to a study that they did in 2021 about the survey. Well, it's a survey, it's not a study. In the study they surveyed. Okay, so in a study they surveyed 856 drill sergeants to determine how their workload affects their mental health. Well, this mental health doesn't have anything to do, unless we're saying that these military men killed themselves, which it doesn't say. It says that they were found unresponsive in their vehicle or at their home or off to the side of a training field, and it didn't say anything about suicide. It just said the cause of death has not been released, and they were unresponsive. So I guess it could be suicide, but I doubt it, because they would have said it first and foremost, right? Would they? Researchers found that 19% of drill sergeants suffered from depression. Oh, no. 27% from moderate to severe insomnia. Well, yeah. Who doesn't suffer from that? As a neurodiverse person, I do suffer from that. 14% from generalized anxiety disorder. I think I might have that as well. 48% from high burnout. 32% from functional impairment. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you're neurodiverse, actually. 35% from moderate alcohol misuse. Duh. 32% from off-duty aggression. Man, do I hate off-duty aggression. And 25% from low morale. Yeah, I mean, a typical work week for drill sergeants consists of 15-hour days and an average of 6.5 days a week. Oh, no. I know, during the drill cycle. I know. They have at least 2 years in the role, and the study finding that the level of intensity is extreme. Yeah, it's a tough job, no question. And so we need policy changes, do we? Including increasing the number of drill sergeants to decrease workload and allow sufficient time for recovery and sleep. So it wasn't that you were thinking. It wasn't suicide. It was because they have, I don't know, moderate to severe insomnia, generalized anxiety disorder. They have functional impairment, moderate alcohol misuse, off-duty aggression. That's why. And they suffer from low morale. So that's what caused these men to die. All right. If you say so. Rest in peace to all three of those men, of those soldiers. No question. Staff Sergeant Alan M. Bertram, 34. Staff Sergeant James Contreras, 40. And Staff Sergeant Zachary L. Melton, 30. Rest in peace. Then we have a 10-year-old Maltese Shih Tzu named Princess, dead in Australia. She was thrown off the top of a garage by this woman. I know, it's sad. I'm not laughing. Stop it. There's footage of her throwing this dog off of this multi-story garage. And didn't kill it. Just suffered. That's good. A passerby thought that the dog had been hit by a car. And this lady, her owner, a 26-year-old woman, later admitted to the crime on Facebook. She has since been jailed for 12 months. Oh, okay. Yeah. And she's been banned from owning an animal for 10 years. Good. That's what dog lovers would want me to say. Good. There's footage of her doing that. Apparently, she was arguing with her partner, dangling the 10-year-old off the side of a garage and allowing her to walk along the roof edge for around 8 minutes. And then she eventually threw the dog off the garage. Wow. And the time it fell about 9 meters. I don't know how far that is. Looks like a couple of stories. And, you know, then was, you know, injured badly and then had to be put down. It's sad. The guy, the partner, was also fined and banned from owning animals for 3 years for failing to seek vet care for Princess. So the lady that found the dog took the dog to the vet. The dog had a chip. So then they contacted the woman who was the one who threw the dog off the roof, and they showed up, even with the partner showed up at the vet's office and were like, yeah, what can be done to help the dog? Well, it's going to be expensive, and we have to do never mind. Pull the plug. Wow. They should not be allowed to own animals ever, but whatever, you know, whatever. I know humans first. I get it, but it doesn't mean that we, the dog of this Shih Tzu, certainly, we guess, wasn't terrorizing this couple. So, you know, dogs are trusting and they expect that their animal, their owners to keep them safe. Princess did not have good owners at all. So rest in peace, Princess, the Maltese Shih Tzu, dead at the age of 10. So what are some of the things happening around the United States of America? Let's take a look. Governor Kathy Hochul from New York signed a bill creating a task force to consider reparations for descendants of enslaved people. New York's 9-member task force, appointed by the governor and the state legislature, will study the history of slavery and its effects on housing discrimination, biased policing, income inequality, and the mass incarceration of Black Americans. How do you think that's going to turn out? The task force will create a report with its findings and recommendations for reparations. Wonder how that's going to turn out. Then it's up to the state lawmakers to pass legislation to enact any recommendations. Of course, we have California was the first state in 2021 to create a reparations task force. Its report released in June. And man, they are getting ready to just print money for the reparations, the descendants of reparations, aren't they? Oh, no, I don't think they are. I think they decided maybe we'll hold off on that. But coming to a state near you. Then in Texas, and this one I find, you know, I don't want abortions. I think people should have their children. I get it. You know, I'm with it. I believe it. You should have your babies. Believe me. I believe we should have our babies. I've got a few of my own. But in Amarillo, Texas, they have now proposed an abortion trafficking, this new, I don't know if it's a law. It's a proposal for now. People would be banned from using Amarillo's roads to go to other states to get an abortion. You can't do that. They'd be banning people using roads in the United States to go to other states. That's just, oh, you're committing a crime. I don't care. So if you couldn't use Amarillo's roads to travel to other states to get an abortion. Okay. So first of all, how are you going to enforce it? And I guess you enforce it through private lawsuits. I guess. And somebody says, I know she had an abortion and she's back now. So where did she go? She must have used our roads. Okay, so a growing number of Texas localities are taking this route. Stop it. as are women fleeing to neighboring states where abortion is legal? I mean, that's the whole point behind states' rights. Oh my gosh. You're talking about, yeah, I mean, talk about see something, say something. Holy cow. So I don't think, I mean, Amarillo, I get it. You don't want people getting abortions, but stop it. You can't stop people from using the roads of your city or your state to go to other states. That's what makes the United States a little bit different. That's all. That's all. Does it make it a lot different, though? Well, you have the Colorado Supreme Court that said former President Donald Trump is disqualified from the state's GOP primary ballot. It cited the 14th Amendment clause, bearing that those supporting government uprisings, and he can't be on our primary ballot. Now, it stayed until January 4th to allow the Supreme Court to appeal. Do we think that the Supreme Court is going to hear this by January 4th? I don't think so. They may hear it, but are they going to rule on it by January 4th? I don't know. That's weird how we have government and courts taking on citizens of the United States now, isn't it? It is. It's almost like, I don't know, China. I was just reading a story the other day about the media guy, the pro-democracy activist who had his trial delayed in Hong Kong for charges under China's 2020 national security law. The founder of the city's long-running Apple Daily newspaper, which shut down in 2021, has long criticized Chinese policies and faces a life sentence if found guilty. So that's happening in Hong Kong. And then we've got stuff like courts disqualifying citizens from being on primary ballots in their state. Not the same thing at all, though. So why don't you just shut up about it? So I was scrolling through some of my social media sites, which you can follow me on, at JeffyJFR on Twitter, Jeff Fisher Radio on Instagram and Facebook. You can email the show anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You can follow me on YouTube, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, and you could order a cameo from me, at JeffyJFR on Cameo. Just tell Cameo whether you want me to be happy, glad, sad, mad, mean, want me to wish somebody a happy whatever or a sad whatever. I'll do that. That's the way Cameo works. It's not free, but that's the way it works. You order it on Cameo at JeffyJFR, and then I do it. And everybody's happy. You get the video, and Cameo gets their money, and I get the money. That's just the way the app works. So anyway, I'm scrolling through some of the interwebs, one of the social media sites. I think it was Instagram. And up pops a post that says, when going through tough times, and there's 8 things for me to remember when going through tough times. So I want to share with you, because if you're going through tough times, maybe this will help. Everything can and will change. It's a learning experience. Allow yourself to have fun. You've overcome challenges before. Being kind to yourself is the best medicine. 6, other people's negativity isn't worth worrying about. 7, not getting what you want can be a blessing. And 8, there is always, always, always something to be thankful for. For example, joke story, find what's to be thankful for here. I asked my daughter to give me the phone book. She laughed at me, called me a dinosaur, and lent me her iPhone. So the spider is dead, the iPhone is broken, and my daughter is furious. Now you ask yourself, what is there to be thankful for there? The spider is dead? Duh.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.